If you will turn in your Bibles to the book of Acts, chapter 17. Mark, thanks for plowing the ground in advance of me coming. I appreciate it. We're in Acts chapter 17, and we're just going to be in two verses here this morning. And it says in verse 2 and following, says, according to Paul's custom, he went to them and for three Sabbaths reasoned with them from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and to rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ. And this is our verse specifically this morning, is, and some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas, along with a great multitude of God-fearing Greeks and a number of leading women. All right. We'll just take note of several things to begin with. Paul is in Thessalonica, and as was his custom, he would go and speak to the Jews first. And there he is in Thessalonica, and for three Sabbaths, it says, he reasoned with them, that is the Jews, from the Scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus, whom I am proclaiming to you, is the Christ. Boy, would you like to have been there and heard that. And he gave evidence from the Scripture, he explained the Scripture, and in the end, he pointed to a man of Galilee, Jesus of Nazareth, and said, this man is the Christ. He suffered, he died, he's raised from the dead, and he did that. Until they just would hardly let him do it anymore. It infuriated the Jews, ultimately, and they resisted. But nevertheless, he did have success. He had initial success. And it says, some of them were persuaded and joined Paul and Silas. And that is our subject today, that they were persuaded. They were convinced. King James says they believed. I think probably our version here, New American Standard, saying they were persuaded is maybe better nuanced. It's not our typical word for faith, that they put their faith in Jesus. It says that they heard Paul and Silas and Timothy, they heard their preaching, and they consented to it. They said, that's right, I believe that. That's good. They were persuaded by Paul's argument. And it says they joined Paul and Silas. And that's an interesting word. It ultimately means they cast their lot, quite literally, they cast their lot in with Paul and Silas. And that's the some old translations back in the 1800s had that translation, that these folks there in Thessalonica said, I'm with them. And they cast their lot in with them. I don't know if you've ever done that with a group of people or not. We'll get to this, but I'm personally not a joiner. I'm not easily. In fact, every time I do join something, I have regret. I regret every time. Would you join the Rose Society? Oh, sure. And then about 6 months later, I'm thinking, man, why did I do that? You know, or the, think of some organization. But nevertheless, these folks threw their lot in with Paul and Silas. And so that's our subject today. Some versions say they joined. Others said they were cast their lot in. Some, the King James says they consorted with Paul and Silas. And so we're going to think about what this meant, that they did this. And the first thing that comes to mind is that they joined a band, Paul and Silas. It was ultimately a missionary. It was ultimately a military band. You say, what do you mean there were soldiers? No, they were military in the sense of there was a militant feel about these three guys as they traveled from city to city. They were on, we don't use the word. Remember when Billy Graham used to have these meetings and what'd they call them back then? Anybody? We don't use that word much anymore. We're getting bad trouble. But there was a military aspect of those early saints. Paul said to Timothy later, this fellow that Paul was traveling with, he says, "Suffer hardship with me as a soldier of Christ. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life, so that he may please the one who enlisted him." And he says in Philemon, Paul says to Philemon, he says, "Greet our sister Apphia and Archippus, and to Archippus, greet them." He says, "This letter's to them." He says, "Our fellow soldier." So when these Thessalonians threw their lot in with Paul and Silas, and Timothy's not mentioned here, but he was there. He was a part of this band. They threw their lot in with a militant group. You heard the expression, the church militant. We are soldiers for him. We throw our lot into it with a band of people that have a calling in life. Now, a good army wants to take ground. They want to defend the home place, but a good army, what do they say the best defense is what? A good offense. And that's a good old football terminology. If you're scoring, you're keeping them, you've got the other team on their heels and you're scoring, that's a pretty good defense. They're knocked back on their heels. A good soldier would take ground for Christ. And I tell you, it's in the heart of the church militant in the earth today, to take ground for Jesus. We have a friend in our little neighborhood, Lee Beth and I do, and we've been plotting on how we can get him, to win him. We're thinking of him. We are thinking, oh, there's a heart. Boy, to capture that heart for Jesus. It's ground to be gained. I don't know what will come of that. But we're zealous for it. We want to take ground for Jesus. We are soldiers of Christ. And in fact, if we're not fighting, we're defeated. You know, there's a bond between people that are fighting. They say that one of the things that keeps a group of soldiers together, after a while they get so beat up and so beat down and they're so worn out, but they'll keep fighting, and they may have forgotten all about the home folks. They may no longer be thinking about, quote, America, and they're not thinking about the marching bands that sent them off. When you get on the field and you're fighting, you know who you're ultimately fighting for? That guy right next to you. And there's something about a band of people that fight. There's a glorious, glorious bond between them. And it says here that these folks cast in their lot, or cast their lot with Paul and Silas. Onward, Christian soldiers marching as to war, with the cross of Jesus going on before. Christ, the royal master, leads against the foe, forward into battle. See his banners go. Onward, Christian soldiers. At the sign of triumph, Satan host doth flee. Oh, then, Christian soldiers, on to victory. Hell's foundations quiver at the shout of praise. I just love that. Brothers, lift your voices, loud your anthem raise. Like a mighty, mighty army moves the church of God. Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. We are not divided, all one body we, one in hope and doctrine and in charity. When you cast your lot in, when you and I in this room cast your lot in with the apostolic faith and those that believe that apostolic faith, you're joining an army band. And there's a whole new ethic within among soldiers. What's it say there? Brothers, we are treading where the saints have trod. I thought about Paul's greeting to Archippus and Apphia there in Philemon. All of us are soldiers. This is I don't know where the politics. I'm not going to talk about the politics of whether women ought to be in combat or not. You can ask me about it later, and I don't know why you would care what I believe about it. That's politics. But in the church world, in the world of God's people, oh, I have known some sisters that fight. I know sisters who fight. They are soldiers for Christ. Where'd Sarah go? She was just here a while ago. As she came and walked in there, I'm thinking, what a sweetheart. She's a brand new mother. Y'all remember Mrs. Rogers? Y'all remember Mrs. Rogers? She called me honey probably 100 times. Well, honey, she didn't even call y'all honey. Did she, Anna? What a soldier for God. Talking about fight. She didn't give her own children much one inch when they were misbehaving and getting out of the will of God. She'd pray for them and she'd fight the devil and pray over them. And soldiers for Christ. So when you cast your lot in with the apostolic faith, which is what you do when you become a Christian, you join a military band. In Revelation, the Apostle John looked up and he saw the armies of Satan. And he looked over here and he saw the armies of God. We're in one or the other. As I thought about these folks casting their lot in with Paul and Silas, I thought of the Declaration of Independence. Now, y'all remember the last several lines of the Declaration of Independence? Thomas Jefferson, I think, wrote that. Pretty sure. But the last few lines in there, he says this. After they declare their independence and say it's done, and they're looking King George in the eye, essentially, and saying, we're out of here. And this is what they do and what they say. And they mutually pledge to each other our lives, our fortunes, and our sacred honor. When those Thessalonians said, Paul, Silas, Timothy, what they joined them. They cast their lot in with them, their future, their destinies, their fortune. And you know what? These people, it's like they changed overnight. All their loyalties shifted. Their futures shifted. I'm telling you, if you've had a conversion experience, everything changed. Your future changed. Your hopes changed. Your desires in life changed. They cast their lot in with Paul and Silas. The apostolic faith demands this. They looked at Paul and Silas and they said, I want what they have. I want their lot. I want their destiny. This word, casting your lot in, comes from the Jewish world for the most part. You remember how the tribes of Israel, they chose lots on which land, who's got what? This was their inheritance in life. These Thessalonians said, okay, I'm with Paul and Silas. It set them apart. It set their destiny up, changed. Their future changed. And we talk about what, have you heard the expression, oh, my lot in life? Have you heard that? What they're talking about is, what, when you say that, what you're saying is, oh, my fate, my lot in life. Usually it's a complaint, but not always. You rarely hear someone saying, oh, my lot in life, I just won $1 million, you know, at the lottery. It's usually a complaint. But nevertheless, when you cast your lot in with a group of people, you say, my destiny, I'm joining my destiny with yours. I think of David and his companions out in the wilderness. It says all those who were troubled and mad and frustrated, they came to David out in the wilderness. They cast their lot with David. So, I just want to challenge you this morning that when you became a Christian and you chose to follow Jesus, you cast your lot with a whole band of soldiers, whole band of people, and you joined your destiny with them. The other word, the other versions have here, the Authorized Version or the King James has the word consorted. Now, I like the word they cast their lot in with Paul and Silas, but King James says, and some other versions translate it, they consorted with. In the old days, the old King James language, it would mean to spend time with. It was even a euphemism for intimate relations between a man and a woman. Some John Henry consorted with his neighbor's wife. That's not good. But that's how the word was used. There's an intimacy there. There's a certain that he, when you consort with someone, you share, it means that you spend time with. There's an intimacy involved. When you become a Christian and you take hold of the apostolic faith that Paul preached and that Silas preached, you join a band of people there's an intimacy there. These people, you join with them and you rub shoulders with them. I thought of what Mark said a while ago about these poor lepers having to serve far off. They were not intimate. They were separated. These guys here that we read in Thessalonica here about them, they became intimate. They consorted with Paul and Silas. You know, sometimes you consort with people and it's not a good thing. We hear the expression, oh, so-and-so started to consort with drug dealers and drug takers, and before you know it, that's who they are. We talk about so-and-so started to consort with Democrats. Whew, what a bad thing. Or Republicans. Whew, what a bad thing. Oh, usually these are negatives, but someone who consorts with someone who rubs shoulders with them, These people said to Paul and Silas, I'm with you. These were Jews and Gentiles, male and female. It says they're not a few of the great and God-fearing, the leading women of the time joined with Paul and Silas, consorted with them, spend time with them, and learned from them. Christians, when we consort together, if I keep using that word, we consort with people that have a peculiar passion. Jesus. That's what's peculiar about us. There's all kinds of things that set Christians apart. But the great and glorious thing is that these people love Jesus. After the resurrection of Christ and Jesus met John and Peter at the beach there in Galilee, what did Jesus question Peter about? Do you love me? This is the thing that binds us all together. This is the one thing we have in common if we're of the apostolic faith. We love Jesus. I tell you, some of y'all are so much smarter than I don't even know what you're talking about sometimes. Some of you live on a different economic level, or some of you are from, I don't know, better parts of Texas than me. Pardon me, Leah. Some of you speak better English. Some of you care about things that I don't care about. Do you want to hear me talk about different varieties of petunias? You probably want to go to sleep if I start in on it. But what do we have in common? We are lovers of Jesus. This is our peculiar passion. And these people in Thessalonica, it says they consorted, they joined up with, and Paul and Silas rubbed shoulders with them, spent time with them. There was an intimacy with them. And what was that thing that drew them? I'm telling you, it's Jesus. The New American Standard and the Revised Standard Version, when it says that Paul and Silas cast their lot in with, when the Thessalonians cast their lot in with Paul and Silas, King James says they consorted with Paul and Silas. New American Standard, being very modern that it is, it just said simply they joined Paul and Silas. That doesn't have as much zip as cast their lot with or consorting with. It says simply they joined. Now let's go back to this. I'm not a joiner. But I want to be part of apostolic Christianity. I want to be a part of God's people. I want to rub shoulders with them. I want to be with them. And you say, well, they're so goofy. Well, that's easy for you to say. But you know, I want to be with them. They love someone whom I love. It says simply they joined. You know, we have joined the church. Did you join the church? This little fellowship, you hardly know when you're in. You don't have to sign any cards or anything like that. Essentially, we know you're in because you've cast your lot among us. And boy, that's hard to do because we're odd here. There is a, you cast your lot with a group of people. We rejoice with one another when we're all happy, and we weep with one another when we're all sad. There's this intimacy between us. And it is a divine institution. When you say, we talk about joining, how about this? Paul describes the Christian fellowship like this. For by one Spirit we were all baptized into one body, whether Jew nor Greek, just like the church at Thessalonica, whether slave nor free. There were important women there, and there were unimportant people there. We were all made to drink of one Spirit, for the body is not one member, but many. Down in verse 27 of chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians says, you are Christ's body, individually members of it. When those Thessalonians cast their lot with Paul and Silas, it's as if God was thrusting them in to what Paul called the body of Christ. Everything changed for them. You have joined not only Paul and Silas, you didn't just join them. You've been put into the mystical body of Christ. That's who you are. Now that's an amazing thing. It has become, it is an organic thing. You don't really know it's happening. I could ask every one of you here about your conversion experience, and I would, let's don't put gambling into it, but let's just say, if I were a betting man, I imagine you did not have at that time that you were entering into the mystical body of Christ. If you did, please raise your hand. No, you put your faith in Jesus, and you cast your hope on him, and you looked around and you found some believers and you said, I want to be with them. But all that was going on, God thrust you in and you became a member of the body of Christ. It's a mystical thing. It's a mystical expression. This casting of our lot with the apostles becomes something all-encompassing. You say, well, it isn't to me. It doesn't take up all my thoughts and desires and such. Oh, it will be one day. It'll be a glory that you stand among the saints. You will stand in the midst of millions. And you'll be so glad you joined up and that you cast your lot with Jesus and his apostles and the apostolic faith down here in the rough and tumble world that this is. And it says here, that these fellows, on down in chapter 17, some people stirred up crowds and stirred up trouble, and they caused a ruckus in the city, and they hauled some of that early band of people, they hauled them before, the authorities, that these folks that had joined with Paul and Silas, they hauled them in and says, these people, I'm reading it to you. These people that have turned the world upside down have come here to Thessalonica. And they say there's another king, Jesus. These folks have hardly been a Christian 2 weeks, and now they're in the thick of it. And it says in verse 8 of chapter 17, and they disturbed the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Did you know other people will be disturbed when you cast your lot in with God's people? They won't like it. They won't understand it. They say, what a ridiculous thing. It's goofy. Did you hear about old so-and-so? He's got religion. Boy, that isn't a slur. This day and time. And it's kind of, I think it's always been a slur, I think, that expression. But people will not like when you cast your lot in with Paul and Silas, i.e. the apostolic faith. They won't like it. They'll think something's gone wrong in your head. Lebeth tells me that Steve mentioned this last week. Let me read it to you. This is from Pilgrim's Progress. I'm right at the start. Y'all see that? Pilgrim has listened to the evangelist, and he's believed it. He's persuaded, like these folks have been. And he doesn't know what to do. And so he goes to the evangelist again. He says, what am I supposed to do? I'm terrified. I don't know what to do. I don't want to be lost in my sin. And the evangelist says to him, he says, do you see yonder wicket gate? And Christian, being an honest man, says, no, I don't see that at all. Then the evangelist says, do you see yonder light shining? And I love this. Christian says, I think I do. Then the evangelist said, keep that light in your eye and go up directly thereunto, so thou shalt see the gate, at which when thou knockest, it should be told thee what thou shalt do. And good old John Bunyan says, so I saw in my dream that the man began to run. Now he had not run far from his own door, but his wife and his children perceived it, began to cry after him, saying, return. But the man put his fingers in his ears and ran on crying, saying, life, life, eternal life. So he looked not behind him, but fled towards the middle of the plain, towards that wicket gate. And the neighbors also came out to see him run. And as he ran, some mocked and others threatened and cried out after him to return. The Christian here has already cast his lot among God's people. And if you join with God's people, you cast your lot in with them, and you consort with Christians, and you rub shoulders with Christians, don't expect the approval of this world. They may not like it. They will say, you know, that guy thinks there's another king and that it's Jesus. And you know what we'll say? That's right. That's exactly what I think. So this tiny little teaching that isn't very deep as far as words go. But the moment you cast your lot with Jesus and his people, you'll never be the same. Your values will change. The fabric of who you are will change. You may be a kind of timid soul, but all of a sudden you'll find yourself standing against the devil and saying, I'm not going to do that, devil. You'll become a soldier. You will want to spend more time with God than just about anything else. You want to spend time with the Word, the apostolic Word, the Word of God. I tell you, there's nothing more pleasurable than that. So, I'm going to be very bold and say, cast your lot in with us. Find a believer and say, I'm with you. Find a believer and copy his faith. Find a believer and become a fellow soldier with him. Find a believer and call him sister or brother. It's a wonderful thing to do. All right, let's pray. Father, truly the only eternal things that we can take with us into the glory is our relationships with the brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, we don't so much ask for friendships with saints. We pray that you'd make us friends to saints. We don't ask so much that we would find brethren that would fight for us and the devil with us. Father, we pray you'd make us those that fight the devil for others in our prayers. Father, we pray that you'd make us worthy of this great fellowship. Both the church that is in heaven and the church that is here yet on the earth. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.